Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting broadcast. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, live from New Zealand, the fabulously fluoridated country, where the first syllable seems to be a little bit more pronounced, because that's how it is down here. Have you ever seen how a tourist operator works? They go, hey, this place is really great. It's 100% pure. You can do adventure tourism. You can see beautiful landscapes and stuff. You can visit Hobbiton. But if you start questioning anything to do with our corrupt judiciary, our paid-off media, our inept political system, then suddenly it becomes a bit less 100% pure. Maybe about 12% pure, you know? This country, New Zealand, is among the most corrupt in the world. You know how I know that? Because we're classified under the Transparency International's second least corrupt countries in the world. And you know everything's the opposite of what it is. So what it means is we're the second best in the world at concealing our corruption. You know how they do those surveys? Transparency International sends round a questionnaire to everybody. An open questionnaire. They ask you, hey bro, have you been engaging in any corruption? And you send them the form back saying, why no, we haven't. Oh my God. You know, just that lazy attempt by New Zealand used to get us number one on the least corrupt countries list. But I got a poem from one of the people I talked to on Facebook, Joshua. And I was going to read out his poem for you because the resistance against scumbaggery, it's not usually compelled by hate. It's not usually compelled by negative stuff. I mean, maybe there's a bit of anger in there, but it's justified anger in my opinion. But ultimately, the way that it's resisted the best is with creativity. You know why? Because psychopaths don't have creativity. They won't see it coming. If it's been tried before, if it's been done before, if it's unoriginal, they'll have game plans against it. Do something original. Do something creative. You know? That's the only way to really differentiate yourself and actually make a difference in the world. It's by being original. Not copying off other people. Sure, you get inspired by others all the time. All the time. You might copy a few things here and pay homage to them. Like, for example, the intros to this radio show. I've been thinking for like, I don't know, months, I think, how to get new intros for the show. And because we reduce back to this one ad per hour format. And I had to figure out how to get all my old tracks and stuff in there, because I love the songs that were introduced in the show before. And then I listened to Suzanne Posel's show, and she had this little bit with the radio tuner. You know how that's actually on a lot of radio shows, but she reminded me of it with the little radio tuner. You know, it goes and plays a different song, you know. So her intro of the song reminded me and inspired me to make the new intros for the Vinnie Eastwood show instead of the old theme song, which I was getting and everybody was messaging me, telling me. How annoying it's starting to get when it's the exact same show every time for years, literally. Okay, so this is Joshua's poem. New Zealand is the country where I was born. Slowly our resources are being ripped and torn. Our sacred lands are being ravished for greed. People are taking more than they will ever need. Our wildlife becomes endangered because of the neglect. Forests cut down and ecosystems are wrecked. Deep sea drilling has been approved by the wealthy. Profit is the aim, not seeing our country healthy. Waterways are polluted by the dumping of toxic waste. The government is the worst threat we have ever faced. The politicians are up in their same underhanded tactics, working towards an outcome that's totally anticlimactic. The TPPA is pushed through without public consent. If it is passed, then to Monsanto, our people will pay rent. They will own our food and poison our precious land. It is more destructive than most can ever understand. They drop poisons everywhere to control the so-called pests, but 1080 kills indiscriminately and puts all animals to rest. It's a metabolic poison that prevents nutrient absorption. It is very dangerous, so if seen, please exercise caution. Fracking is a major threat to the water that we drink. It's more devastating than most would ever think. It's a threat to the stability of the land and to the quality of air. As long as the process brings profit, the wealthy do not care. So you know, government, I am not alone in these feelings. Many of us are aware of your underhanded dealings. You may have the upper hand for now, but it will not last long, because in the end of it all, we are right, and you are so wrong. When you see our combined power, you will drop to your knees. When the people stand together, we'll march over you with ease. And that's Joshua Tepaniah there. That's his poem. I just said to him, bro, it's a good poem. I'll read it out on air for you. My mother was a poet, and, you know, I have the flair for narrating stuff, so thought, you know, it'd help a brother out. Because we're all brothers in this, isn't it? There was a thing that started to really tick me off is how everything's the opposite, right? Somebody's, let's say they're Māori, and they don't like me because I'm white. It was just like, what's the point in that, brother? You know, and we all both oppressed by the same criminal gangster scum. We are, aren't we? And there isn't really any difference between you and me. We bleed red. We feel loss. We feel pain. We don't want to see anything bad happen to our people, or any people. And on this, we're together. Would you put on a black ski mask and kill innocent people just because the government told you to? Or would you refuse to do it for reasons of conscience? If you'd refuse to do it, then we don't really have any fundamental disagreements. And that's how I look at human interaction. You ever noticed that chill just comes over everybody? Everybody gets paranoid as fuck the second you mention anything about race. They're like... Oh, so sensitive. It's a sensitive issue. It's something controversial might be talked about. Well, absolutely. What's the entire point of controversy? What is it? Really? Does it gain? Does it grab your attention? Controversy. Oh, yes, it does. Does it sometimes get whipped up needlessly and pay attention to really minute, pompous, ridiculous and irrelevant issues? Oh, yes, it does. But just occasionally, is the controversy itself hiding a deeper truth that you're not yet prepared to accept? Like swearing, for instance. I can tell you that over the last decade or so, 1 million people have died in Iraq because of the US's occupation there. Now think about the concept of 1 million people. Think about your maybe top 10 list of the people in your life that you see the most regularly, that have the greatest influence on you. Now imagine, like, they're all dead, all right? And you imagine that loss just all of a sudden. You don't feel that loss when I tell you about 1 million dead Iraqis. Now, if I were to curse when I deliver that exact same statistic, they killed 1 million fucking Iraqis, bro. The mere fact that I used a curse word during that is enough to make people offended. More offended than 1 million dead fucking Iraqis. And they say things like, you're not using your vocabulary better. Dude, try and test me on vocabulary. are pretty high up there. I know a lot of words. That's why I'm often so eloquent when I speak. Why I'm not lost for words a lot of the time, because I know so many. It ain't a question of what is or isn't the right language to use. It is a question of, can the idea be expressed and be felt by using the right words? That's the key when it comes to language, as far as I'm concerned. Can you use words in a way that can solicit an emotional reaction, if you choose to have that emotional reaction? Sometimes you're not looking for an emotional reaction. You're not looking for people's empathy. You're not looking to make people afraid. You're not even looking to cheer people up. You're just telling them something. You know? Imagine that. If people always told a story without a required response. You say hello, people say hello back. It's meaningless, isn't it? Because you haven't told anything. There's no real interaction there. Somebody tells you, my mother just died. You say, oh, I'm sorry, bro. Now, you may or may not be really sorry. But you're just doing it to be polite. What if you hated the guy's mum? What if she was a complete tart? You know? Would you slag her off at that time? No. Because you're not trying to solicit an emotional response. You're just doing a reflex action. Aren't you? That's how a lot of human interaction is, and that's what I find very puzzling and troubling, is that real communication, real conversations are very rare. I mean, they're not very rare for me, because I've figured out how to find these good conversations. You just find people that are generally a bit smarter than you, who have and or have more experience in some such way. And you'll find that the conversations always wind up really interesting, because you've always got something to learn from this person. We use different language. So, as I was saying, I've figured out how to find the good conversations, right? You just find the people that are generally smarter than you, so that you've always got something to learn from them, you know? And people who don't treat you disrespectfully, like people who, even though they are better at something than you, you're better at things that they aren't as well. So there's actually a mutual respect for each other's skill sets. My father once told me that he never had any friends that didn't build things. You know? That was basically his benchmark there. And I think it's a wise benchmark to a large degree, because there's, shall we say, a lot of different people in the world, and there's no way you're going to start to learn more about the world if you're only talking to the people that you already know. All right? You do have to diversify, not only with the different people in different circles, but at the very least, you've got to be cognizant of the fact that there are a lot of people in this world who do not think like you. That doesn't make them your enemy. That makes them people you can learn something from. See what I'm saying? And that's part of the reason why I do the show the way that I do, is because I do the show the way I live my life. I drift in and out of conversations. You can see me work a room, work a party, or something like that. But it's always positive. I'm never attacking somebody or trying to show them up or making them uncomfortable to express their opinion. Of course, everybody's got a right to express their opinion, and ultimately, if you don't listen and you don't hear people out when they have an opinion that's radically different to yours, that you have an emotional reaction when you hear that, even the possibility that somebody thinks this way, all right, that means you're just brainwashed, bro. Okay, there's something you're not prepared to accept. I mean, sure, there's things that you can... That's not to say that everything that you disagree with and you don't like means that you're crazy. No. I'm talking about an emotional reaction. If you have a cognitive reaction and you go, well, actually, there's this fact, that fact, and that fact that contradict the bullshit that you're telling me, sir. And I don't believe you unless I've seen the evidence that backs up what you're saying. I don't believe the information you're giving the public about the economy is real. I believe that the reporting in the media is manufactured. And I want to hear it from you, without filters, without any need for decorum. I will sit here and I will listen to everything that you've got to say. I won't necessarily agree with it. By the end of the show, I might, you know, say afterwards to my mates, like, oh my God, that person was freaking nuts. I'm never having them on again, bro. Made me feel really uncomfortable, like the whole show. You know? But just because I sit here and hear somebody out, that's how you really get to know somebody. Because when they're self-censoring, because they think they're being challenged, they're not free to be themselves. And that's, and the door swings both ways. If you're real nuts and you feel, you know, free to express yourself or whatever, you start going really nuts. But if you're really honest, but you're extremely paranoid of how people will misrepresent your views, you suddenly relax. Thank God this person isn't out to get me. This actually feels really comfortable. This is actually kind of fun. And they tell their stories. My God, some interesting stuff has been said on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, you definitely, definitely need to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and have a look at the 2015 archives page. You can scroll and scroll and scroll just to get to the ones of the, just the shows that we've done this year. Each show, in and of itself, is timeless, unique, like a little time capsule. The reason it's there, the reason why I provide commercial-free formats without charging you any money, is because this is not about the money. This is about getting the information out there in a format that is easy to listen to, that is fun, and that is very honest. Because it's the direct opposite to how you look at the news. Is the news fun? No. Is it honest? No. Is it given to you for free without huge quantities of corporate commercials? No. So you do the exact opposite. Whew. Voila, the Vinny Eastwood Show. I am the, what was it? I am the immovable object that is resisting this unstoppable force of tyrannical scumbaggery media. By myself if necessary, but I knew that I was never alone. Never, at any time. This is what it means to take a stand. This is what it means to realize your true power. This is what it means to stand up for your own beliefs. Many of us have beliefs, but very few of us actually will stand on principle. We'll experience consequences as a result of it. You see what I'm saying? Now, I want to also reassure people that even though I have people on here, just remember, you'll see some very controversial topics being discussed on here. The kind of stuff that I could read you a list that would go for days, just on the topics alone, that would really just melt your brain places and make you angry with me for how dare you give that person coverage or something like that. Just listen to it before judging it. Okay? The only people that really don't like me are people that do not listen to the show. Or people who have an emotional reaction to something that's been discussed on the show that they think I believe that they never checked with me on. Because remember, a lot of the stuff that gets shared on the show, I don't believe it. It's about discernment. Okay? You have to be media savvy. This is not for people who to wake them up, per se. There's plenty of people doing that. This is for the people who want to get out of bed. all right? Waking up is only half the struggle. Taking the sheets off you and getting out of frickin' bed and going to work against the New World Order and being able to survive it long enough to make a difference is who this show is for. And if you're listening to the show, that's you. It's a coping mechanism. Because you can't stay awake without seeing a few daytime delusions, a few nightmares coming into reality. You can't. Everything that you get told about the surveillance state, about the depopulation campaigns, about the fluoride, the electromagnetic wireless radiation, the list goes on. It's all true. Almost everything is here specifically to kill you, make you sterile, make you dumb, make you sleep deprived, make you miserable, make you commit suicide. From the drugs that we take, to the food that we eat, to the environments in which we sleep. It's all connected by loose little strands. To realize and to see this reality, where all the spider webs around you, all the prison bars that look like open doors, to suddenly realize the truth that you're not free, is a very painful realization. And I didn't see anybody really doing a radio show or a YouTube channel that's based upon that vein of comprehension, a multi-spectrum comprehension, a meta-analysis of all the different various topics. Nobody was doing that. Everybody had blind sides, and the reason why people still have blind sides is because not enough people are following my example. Well, there mainly may be people who've been trailblazing before, and usually their achievements and their ideas and everything don't get fully realized until after they're gone. You know, decades later. But I think that if you're intelligent, if you're emotionally open, if you're willing to listen before judging, this is the show for you. Maybe the only radio show for you. The only one that will actually take all of those risks, that will be truly reckless in the pursuit of the truth. Through pathological honesty, and even worse jokes, will get you through. To save your sanity amidst all the craziness. Somebody calls you crazy, say thank you.
You know why? But why is thanking me for calling you crazy?
You go, well, if you were to call me sane in a world this fucked up, I'd be insulted. You know, flip it around on him, man. We don't have to put up with the junk anymore. There's been too many people for far too long being trodden on, being misrepresented, being silenced, sidelined. And it's time for them to come out. I know that what I do is only one incredibly small, delicate speck of a contribution to the global truth movement. But I'm just doing what I can mostly by myself. I'm now starting to get some assistance to type up the descriptions for the shows and to edit the archives for me. Putting up archives now is more or less a bit of a breeze. It used to be very daunting and exhausting, and now all I have to do is edit the videos, which only takes a few minutes, and then upload stuff, link it around, and do the web thing, which is still pretty complex and incredibly time consuming, but In time. The whole idea of management, and this is the reason why the whole world's mismanaged at this point. Whole concept of good management is to make yourself redundant. If there are people still depending on you to manage what's going on, then you're not managing it properly because they're still dependent upon you. Make yourself redundant. So let's have a look at all the Vinnie Eastwood Show archives dating back to 2010. There are literally thousands and thousands of broadcasts and videos to choose from. Right? It's more than you could watch. If you were watching Vinnie Eastwood content, you could probably get through it in maybe a year. If you're watching it like 6 hours a day or something like that. And the fact that it's so varied. There's so many different topics, so many different guests. People that you never heard of, people that you might never hear of again. People that you're glad that you never heard of again. But at least you got this one chance to listen up, right? And guess who allows me to do this? American Freedom Radio. Why do you think I'm here? See, sometimes you've got to stick with the people who have treated you the best. Ultimately. That's the only reason, that's the only way you can really guarantee that somebody is who they say they are if they deliver time after time again. If they actually embody the principles that they espouse to believe in. It's American Freedom Radio. Now, America's a dirty word now. You ever notice that? Anytime anybody mentions the word America. It's a dirty, dirty word. Reminds me of police shooting black people. It reminds you of fast food chains that are fattening up the population for the slaughter. Reminds you of police brutality, beating up protesters and things of this nature, pepper spraying the living hell out of them with gigantic cans of pepper spray the size of a fucking scuba tank. Alright, this is a bad, bad imagery that go with the word America. Right about now. Don't you think? That's a terrible realization, isn't it? Because that's the kind of imagery that goes through my head when anyone says New Zealand. I think, man, we've got a corrupt judiciary. Man, we're an Agenda 21 testing ground. Man, we're about to have mandatory vaccines. Oh my God. See? It's everything's the opposite. Everything. God damn it. Have a look at the statistics on this. What's the leading cause of death? Smoking? No. Alcohol? No. Cancer? No. What is it? Well, it's actually the health industry. All the reactions, and it's very interesting because there's three different causes of death that the medical profession causes and is responsible for. But they don't combine all three of them. All right? They're the second, third, and sixth leading causes of death that the medical industry are accounting for, which makes it the number one cause of death, the medical establishment. What do you think the medical industry is supposed to do for you? Supposed to keep you healthy? Nah, bro. Manage your disease. A diseased person is a profitable person because a diseased person will keep coming to you to get drugs and medication to manage this disease that you've got instead of telling you, hey, you know what? Maybe you should walk out my office and go find yourself a naturopath or some other of these kind of people that can actually make that disease fuck off permanently. All right. Now, you're not allowed to say cure. You're not allowed to say treat. You're not allowed to say blah, 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 blah about this disease. But I think we can finally agree that the new terminology that all holistic doctors that can, you know, quite literally in many ways treat and cure diseases tell them that we can make your symptoms fuck off, or we can make the disease fuck off. All right? That's not going to violate the thing. And you can imagine the FCC. Holistic doctors are not allowed to claim that their medicine makes something fuck off. Just see the legislation going through Congress. You're reading it out. Oh, wait, what am I talking about? Congressmen don't read legislation. Oh, it's a funny old world, isn't it? It's a horrible world. It's a terrible world. It's a world that's going down. I'm going to hell in a handbasket. Everybody running around freaking out. Getting real paranoid and stuff. Justifiably so. You ever notice that people aren't actually noticing the due credit you have to give to paranoia? I mean, as a survival mechanism, let's say somebody is actually after you. Let's say you're right, that what you're doing is worth censoring, is worth oppressing. Yeah? What do you do? I suggest you become paranoid immediately, all right? Then hear me out. Here's the reason why. Paranoia is exactly the thing that will keep you alive if you've got something to be freaking scared of. It'll keep you on edge, but you'll always be incredibly suspicious of stuff. And so it makes it so much harder to pull tricks over on you, to mess with you, to take stuff from you. Makes it a lot harder, bro. Now, isn't that really obvious? I mean, in a war situation, people get paranoid. You know why? Because somebody could walk up to them with a gun or explosive at any time. And it's because you're paranoid that you shoot people before they kill you. To a large degree, other than that training and the other ad effects here. Now, I'm not encouraging irrational paranoia. What I'm encouraging, more or less, is a justified awareness of the situation with which you face. This is not a weekend excursion. This isn't going to end well for any of us. The next generation that's yet to be born will probably see the fruits of what we sacrificed here for today. We won't. Our children won't. But their children will. There's going to be a long struggle. There's already been going on. And a lot more sacrifice is going to be necessary if we are to win this thing. Now, maybe I'm just being irrational. But the way I figure it, there's two choices you can make. Do something or do nothing. And there's one guarantee in that. Only one. If you try to resist the New World Order, resist scumbaggery, to become healthier, become more intelligent, become more well-informed, and actually start taking some action personally, there's no guarantee of success. But if you try to do nothing, you are guaranteed to succeed. It's the only guarantee in life. If you don't do anything, nothing will happen. Not for you. Not for anyone else. The way I figure it, you got the world resting on your shoulders. You got one shot in this life. Try and make something of yourself and make a better world. What do you do instead? Are you like me? You watch movies? You play too much computer games? Don't take care of your own health? And you feel that you're justified in that just because, you know, you're doing something for the truth movement? Or are you doing the opposite thing? Are you really taking care of yourself? And because taking care of yourself just requires so much effort that you can't really contribute so much to the truth movement as maybe you'd want to. See how everything's the opposite? There is no there is no way to achieve your destiny without impediments. You ever notice that? Every time anybody's ever come up with a really good idea, everybody's like, it's going to be terrible, it's going to be terrible. Raiders of the Lost Ark, for example, terrible reviews. Like, oh, this is the worst movie. Harrison Ford better start looking for another job. George Lucas is finished. You know? See? All those people who have seen what has come before think that's the only thing that they have to look forward to. More of the same shit recycled. They didn't expect there's something original. Something fantastic. Something totally unforeseen would just come out of the woodwork and go, whoa. And then when something does, they go, oh, it sucks, bro. It's terrible. We're so stupid, man. You know, everything's the opposite. We're real stupid when we think we're smart. We're real unhealthy when we think we're fine. We're real sleep deprived when we've just had another coffee and we feel great, you know. Everything's so confusing. And I'm wondering, you know, there is a reason why people aren't just sitting at home by themselves going, what the hell is going on? I don't know who I am. I don't know how the world works. I don't know what I want to be. I don't even know what I want the world to look like. I don't know anything. I feel a whole lot of different things. And I think many, many more things. But I don't know anything. At all. I'm not having anything in my life applied. I learned trigonometry when I was 15 and I haven't used it since. I've learned about, you know, soil erosion and various other things which have never actually come in handy at any point in my life in any practical way. Nothing has any practical teaching anymore. Isn't that about right? I think about all the truthers that have kids now. And I wonder how they can bring themselves to send their child to school knowing what it is, knowing how horrible school was for them. And ultimately the justification is, we can't afford 24-hour babysitting, we can't afford to just sit home and raise them and teach them ourselves. So through the advent of poverty, you get your child brainwashed in a public institution and have their little identity eroded away. Have their unlimited creativity put a glass ceiling on it. Fuck. God damn it. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. At least you think there isn't. You're trying to sit there and think your way out of it. Maybe that's the problem. We spend a hell of a lot of time entertaining ourselves, but we don't actually spend a lot of time about thinking about what it is and then acting on it. Right, and it's like this left and right brain thing. If you have a penchant for details, for language, for solid facts and things like that, as opposed to feelings and creativity and imagination and the overall picture, then you're going to have a disconnect. And I think that's the reason why there's this left brain and right brain male-female split. Maybe there's something to be learned here. That both those approaches can come to very interesting conclusions, but only if they're combined. You know? If you have the emotional intelligence and the overall broad picture that a woman can get, and you get the logic and the facts and the language that a man can do, and you put those together, then you create something that neither of them could create on their own. And I think that's kind of like creating life, isn't it? When you combine the two, you create something. You put energy into it. Something comes out of it, doesn't it? Now, I'm not talking about this in a crude, sexual fashion. A very general way. like collaboration in music. You know, like Simon and Garfunkel. I think we are made, human beings, what that is, to fit together. Not only in body, but in mind and spirit as well. And if we can attune ourselves to that kind of wavelength, the same wavelength that everybody's on, there would be a lot of benefit in it, I think. In a very general way, for a broad brush stroke of humanity. Being able to find people who aren't dicks, basically. I've tried for many years to get dicks out of my life. And I've kind of become semi-successful at it. I haven't gotten rid of all of them yet. But, you know, you can't help that. It's a fact of life. You always have to deal with some kind of opposition, some kind of irritation. Just to help you realize that maybe not everybody thinks like you. Maybe not everybody gets along with you. Maybe everybody's actually got different motivations and things. And maybe there is actually something wrong with you that these people are picking up on. It could be the other way around. Maybe there's something wrong with them. Something very, very wrong. Just feel what is happening to you, you know? Really feel it. Really pay attention. Because sometimes these things will just, they'll be up and gone. You didn't act on them at the time. Didn't take the person's number, didn't send your email or something like that when you have that intuition to, boom, 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 gone. You got 5 seconds to act on your intuition or it's gone. No, all the musicians out there know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? You have a tune in your head. 5 seconds later, you don't pull out the guitar and start playing it. Gone, isn't it? You never remember it again. Rappers, you know, same thing. You got some lyrics in your head, bro. You start to get around. You start to get a mad flow going. And then you don't open your mouth. You don't crack open a recording device to get it. Gone. Any of the carpenters, any of those people who are gardeners. Gardeners, particularly interesting. You know, you didn't finish planting all your beetroot, did you? Didn't finish all the celery. You didn't weed that one when you thought about it. And now it's growing out of control. See? And I think we're actually, we've developed this weird ability to ignore our instincts more than almost everything else. Haven't we? We don't actually follow our instincts. Instincts telling you one thing, we're like, oh, I'll leave it till later. What the hell happened to us? I mean, as a species, did we just go crazy? All of a sudden, we stopped caring about things that matters. I don't think so. I don't think it just happened overnight. I'm pretty sure that I've got a lot of evidence and have seen a lot of evidence that there is a game plan and it's being followed. And there are actual people responsible. And guess who the people responsible are for everything in society going wrong? You are. I am. By our silent, obedient compliance, we let these fucks take control of everything. They're in your house. Right now. They're on your phone. They're in your car. They're at work. They're everywhere. Scumbaggery. Infesting every single crevice. Underneath every rock. Underneath every single thing that we believe has solid foundations in our society, there is a sand made of pure scumbaggery that destabilizes the whole lot of it, all right? Scumbaggery is so prevalent that you don't even see it. It's like oxygen. It's absolutely abundant. It's in your face. But you don't even notice it's there. Till someone cuts it off. Can you imagine what happened? If tomorrow there was this great purge of scumbaggery, like, I don't know, God released virus, like in the old Egyptian days, just releases through, and only people that engage in scumbaggery, like, died, you know, the firstborn scumbaggery, just all just taken the fuck out, you know. And then the next day it's like, hey, I don't have any interest to pay on my credit card, my personal loans are gone, I own my home freehold, I don't have criminal taxes to pay, I don't have any. See? I don't even have to go to work. Seriously. The day scumbaggery is no longer got the upper hand, virtually nobody will have to work. Again. Because it's just slavery. And they've predicated the entire system of it. Most of the things can be done robotically, but there are a lot of things that involve craftsmanship, right? Real human skill and innate talent that can develop, that can grow, that can make unique items, that kind of thing. That's where the money will be. Everything else will basically just be free. It's just the robotic crap. If you want something real, something human, you know, you've got to pay for it, because that stuff's not fake. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? And I know that everybody in thinking about this socialism thing and the bloody zeitgeist and what have you. Yeah, I get it. The thing is, I'm living a lifestyle where I don't actually have to work at all if I don't want to. I'm getting, you know, donations through in a more or less passive way. And so the only reason why I do work is because I compel myself to. Because I'm working towards something. I'm working towards an ideal. Ideas are bulletproof. Doesn't matter how many setbacks I have. Doesn't matter how many technical difficulties. Doesn't matter. For the goal remains the same. And I will not be deterred. And I will make sure that people's trust in me is not unfounded. And that's where the pathological honesty comes in. Because I really did love all of you. And I'm quite appreciative that so many cool, intelligent, and active people listen to this show. A lot of you got something going on, don't you? And that's just cool, man. I like it how people who actually have their own gig going on are listening to this. That's very humbling, ultimately. Somebody who actually deemed my broadcast as worthy of their time is a big plus. And I've got to say very much thank you, and specifically thank you to all those people who have been supporting me for years. You know, I looked through my automatic payments that are coming through into the Kiwi Bank from just Kiwis who listen to the show and donate regularly. There's actually quite a lot of activists, people who are on a very tight budget, people who are doing major things in activism in New Zealand, who are contributing a bit to me every week, every month, you know. And I think that's something that needs to continue. And I think people need to support me specifically when the TV show Paradigm is going to need financing. Because imagine that, the first crowd-funded TV show in New Zealand that talks about the truth, you know, and actually has the activists on and lets them speak and tell their stories about what happens in this country when it comes to scumbaggery. You understand how important that is, you know, in the general scheme of things? Just being able to expose scumbaggery on television. It's really quite handy if people are donating regularly because it means I don't have to ask. And it because it means that they know that it doesn't matter whether they give me something or not. I'm still going to keep producing content. I mean, what are we going to do? Run out of scumbaggery? We'll be right back, folks. Thank you very much for listening to Logan and Lewis for the show. One more hour right here. And welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? Now, I don't have a very special guest this hour either, so I want to relay a few things, specifically about the acceptance of the show and what have you. It's like, I've got a lot of people that I try to serve, you know, and they're good people. They have their own motivations for being who they are. They're good activists and things like that, particularly those from New Zealand. And I find that there's this great kind of untapped potential market out there for reality. You know, reality is something people try to escape pretty often, usually with weed or alcohol or escapism, television, something like that. But for some people, it's actually a craving that they have. It's something that gets under your skin. It really does, in fact, motivate you to get your hands on some interesting stuff. And I feel that there's a great need for it, as much as there is a compulsion and a craving for it, because of the sheer fact that there's nothing really in the mainstream to oppose it, is there? I don't think so. Not when you look at mainstream TV, not when you look at what's been happening around the world with media commentary and things like that. I mean, it seems to be comedians primarily who are becoming the newsmen, and the newsmen overwhelmingly are just becoming a bit of a joke. I mean, seriously, that's how it is, isn't it? Isn't it self-evident? I'm very confused by the fact that the media is so corrupted and yet it still has any audience at all. And it's frustrating because the dumbed-down population, a deliberately dumbed-down population, it's not their fault that they're stupid. There's been an agenda to do this. Have been so lax for such a long time that even those of us who awaken still keep sitting around talking about how bad everything is and how bad everybody's got it and what have you and what's going down. But, you know, there's all this compulsion to go, like, oh, we need to solve this, or we need to do this, we need to do that. But that's not what I've found has usually been the most effective. What's been most effective is the individuals who go, no, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to back down. Because I have principles, you know. One of my friends criticized me one time. He says, Vinny, you only cover left-wing protests. And I go, well, there aren't any right-wing protests, because when right-wingers realize there's a problem, they go out and they do something about it, or they ignore it. And when left-wingers see that there's a problem, they get together with a whole bunch of other people who also see the same problem, and then they go out and they protest against it instead of trying to solve it. You know? And so I'm not right-wing, I'm not left-wing, so if I have some right-wingers or some left-wingers on the show, I don't think it's a reflection of my views per se. It's on the points we agree that we should come together and collaborate, and on the points that we disagree, we can probably leave those debates maybe for another time. Preferably a time when we're not under the threat of extermination by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery who already have control of pretty much the entire law-making and law enforcement and illegal activity globally anyway. See, that's the real problem that I think we're really starting to deal with here, is that people have this pretense, okay, that they're actually pretending that certain things don't exist. Now, can we please stop pretending that there isn't an agenda to set up a fascist world government designed to enslave human beings while serving elite psychopaths and the corporations they already control. Can we stop pretending, please, that this isn't going on? All right, it's happening, bro. It's happening whether or not you agree with it, whether or not you like it, it's going on. Okay? It's extremely frustrating for people because they don't get it. They don't get the gravity of the situation here. And gravitas it is. I feel very strongly about it that we have more or less allowed deception to be our priority, distraction to be our priority more specifically, rather than becoming active, rather than going out and doing it. We make excuses about why we don't. You know, there could have been 20, 30,000, 50,000 people at the TPPA protest that still drew like over 10,000, maybe 15,000 people. There could have been way more if it hadn't rained, because people wake up on their Saturday and they go, it's raining, I'm going to go to a protest. Nah, man, I'm not going to that protest in the rain. Bugger that. I'm going to stay at home where it's warm. It's not going to be very warm for long, because once that blink has passed, everything that you pay for to keep you warm will be that much more expensive, and you'll be kicking yourself that much that you didn't go out when it counted, when it mattered. Not that the protest really changed anything. It changed one thing only for me. Suddenly realised that there were a lot of people in this country, a lot of people, against the TPPA. Because you can multiply by how many people turn up, how much of an actual public consciousness there is out there. I see like thousands of people turning out in Christchurch, in the South Island, where it's freezing as hell, on a terrible day, you know? That takes dedication. There is a mood in this country that suddenly got activated, but not enough people turned up. Now, I turned up, and I published the speeches and a poem performed by a local activist, Raven. And that's just my small contribution. That's just one person, and I got like maybe 3,000 hits on that one video. You know? Just be there. Don't do nothing. Document the stuff that's going on and just put the videos up. For goodness sake, put the videos up. You can't expose scumbaggery if nobody sees the scumbaggery being exposed on a video or on a radio show or something of that nature, you know? And I feel that there's a disgusting tendency that we have to expect others to do things for us, you know? Oh, he should be doing this, you should be doing that, blah, 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 blah. And that's because people are abdicating their own personal responsibility during the situation. You know, they're like, oh, well, I don't want to have to do anything. Other people are doing it better than I currently can, so why don't I just let them get on with it? Well, the reason why you shouldn't just, you know, let us get on with it is because there's more at stake here than just our stake in it. You have a stake in it too. And you need to be contributing. You have to be contributing. Even the smallest amount makes a difference. And, you know, that's why people give $1 a month. You know, as little as $1 a month to the Vinnie Eastwood show. That's kind of cool, man. Just showing the little bit of support that they can give. And I wonder if people can do that. I mean, why shouldn't there be others supporting American Freedom Radio, for example? They've got bills to pay. There are a couple of $100 behind the bills on this month. Definitely that internet to get paid, because there's a number of hosts on this network who people depend on for their information, for their daily dose, you know? And I think that needs to be looked at quite heavily, because really, we have to get past this notion that we can get all the information for free and we don't have to contribute and we can just leech off everybody else's work. You know, that's not cool, bro. It's really not cool. It's a user-consumer society. We need you to be a contributionism. It's far better. You know? Far better. And I feel that we've kind of lost that that fundamental drive to a large degree because we've become a spectator society. Now, I've been posting a couple of archives this morning, and I've got quite a few more to put up after the show as well. I've been dramatically behind on these things. I've just realized the other day that I'm almost a month behind on archives for the show, and the site suffered quite massively as a result of my my absence of work in those areas. I've just had so many other things on. I've been putting on gigs and doing music and stand-up comedy and such and blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's a mission, bro. Really working quite hard and at the same time I'm neglecting other things. You know how you can't serve two masters, eh? You really can't. It's quite a terrible thing to realize that you can't, you know, cook a few different meals at the same time, you know? I don't know, sort of a bit frustrating for me, really. I've felt the pinch, the workload kind of getting it to me. And maybe because I'm getting older, I'm not doing enough exercise, or not getting enough sleep. I don't know what it is. But I've just been, yeah, finding it very difficult to keep up the production line and make all the videos and go out and attend all these protests and everything like that and run a radio show and do all the archiving for it myself. It's, it's a mission, bro. It really is. So when people give me a dollar, that's cool. People give me anything, that's better than nothing. Because I'm working so hard, and even when I'm not producing content, I'm still recording it, and it's still being, you know, saved to my folders and things like that to be done and caught up on later. But yeah, man, it's a hell of a workload. A hell of a workload. You know, anybody who can sit down for 2 hours, no preparation, no guest, and just let it go, they're missing a beat. And not so many people who can do this kind of thing, man. It's not an easy gig. So many things that need to be done all the time. Now, I wanted to also direct people to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, or just Google stand-up comedy Vinny Eastwood, live at Truth or Dare 2. Truther, T-R-U-T-H-E-R, Dare 2. Stand-up comedy, Vinny Eastwood live at Truth or Dare 2. And have a look at my my stand-up comedy bit. I've had a lot of good responses from people, and I liked Thomas Sheridan's response a lot, because this is one of the most effective ways of actually getting people the conspiracy information. It's through comedy, through making fun of it kind of thing. And the original sketch that I did was like 19 minutes long, and I sat down and I was like, that's not funny. It's not well paced enough. It's not well edited enough. So I cut it down, and I cut out maybe 7 minutes out of 19 minutes from it. So it's only about 12 minutes long. Cutting out tiny little bits here and there, whole jokes that were just kind of fell flat and stuff like that. Just the gold. And yeah, it's gotten quite a lot of hits and a big response, a hell of a lot of likes. It's exciting, because I always wanted to be a stand-up comedian. I think ever since I saw Bill Hicks doing his routines and things like that when I was maybe 2004, 2003, when I was a student at university, I always wanted to be a comedian after seeing that kind of stuff, after seeing the impact that it had on me. I was thinking, man, I really want to be in that position. I really want to do that. So it was my first ever stand-up comedy routine. It was totally improvised. There was nothing, you know, I didn't pre-prepare material or rehearse or anything like that. And it still wound up being pretty good, so people tell me. A lot of good laughs, but I felt that there was a bit much cuss a bit much cussing in there. And me and Wyeth Chalmers spoke about this on an interview as a New Zealand comedian. And we determined that cuss words are sometimes a necessary part of comedy because they make things a bit more punchy, like with punch lines, etc. And they accentuate the comedy at certain times, but it drowns out when it's if and this and if and that every second word. Excuse me. And yeah, I was kind of cognizant of that when I was editing the video. But that's it, isn't it? This is where news comes from nowadays. Stand-up comedy. I've learned so many interesting things from stand-up comics that you wouldn't hear on the mainstream news. Or in a lot of cases, you probably wouldn't even hear it in alternative news. You know, because comedians have this way, and I've been practicing developing it over years in talk radio, how to be a comedian sort of thing, of encapsulating issues in such a short and concise manner that they're actually kind of funny, right? And that's where humor really comes from, I think, is people mostly laugh if something's true. You know, if they get it, if it's suddenly like, boom, right in your face. Oh, that's classic. You know? I think there's a great opportunity here for everybody in the truth movement to be making a few jokes about things and making light of the bad situation, because let's face it, we are absolutely saturated by people who take this stuff very seriously and are desperately struggling to wake people up, and they get really angry, they get really frustrated, and they get their audiences angry, they get their audiences frustrated, and sometimes that frustration and that anger turns to action, and that's a good thing. Sometimes it leads to people waking up, and that's a good thing. Once you are waking up and once you are active, on the other hand, there's very little need to listen to broadcasts like that that are simply trying to wake you up and motivate you. You've already woken up, you're already motivated. Now you just need something to help deal with the facts that you know what's going on. You know? It's a complete winch, isn't it? Just knowing what's going on. Seeing through the veil of absolutely everything when you walk down the street. Man! It's like in They Live. I mean, really. You got a different set of glasses on now, and you see the image of scumbaggery everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. You're surrounded by it. You're saturated by it. Your friends talk about it. They engage in it. It's all this massive cacophonous soup of scumbaggery that you find yourself in. And it's so hard to deal with that you have to have some kind of coping mechanism other than paranoia. Having a few laughs, bro. Why not? Again, just because you're being exterminated doesn't mean you can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? This is a very, very important message, and I'm sorry that I'm reiterating it over and over again. But it's on the odd occasion where something is so important that it bears repeating. Stay sane amidst the chaos and craziness. Stay light, stay happy, stay positive. I know the depression gets you down sometimes. I know the misery about all the false flags and people promoting fluoride and all the frustration at the lies and the psychopathy around you can be really tense. Just don't lose your mind, okay? Don't start going off at people and going nuts. It's not going to serve anybody, not even you. It's just an emotional response because you're frustrated and you don't have any other way out. You haven't figured out how to deal with the stuff that you know. Okay, that's the reason why I reckon a lot of soldiers commit suicide. Because they don't have a way of rectifying the stuff that they've done, the things that they now know. The things that they know that they've done. The things that they've seen. The things they've been made to do. Things that have happened to them. Same is true of all of us activists. Something happened to us. All of us. It's only once you realise that the world isn't all sunshine and rainbows that you start to get really pissed off. And it's what they say, you know, the truth will set you free, but it'll piss you off first. I'm not sure if the truth even sets you free. I'm definitely sure that it pisses you off, but it hasn't set me free at all. You know, I'm still a slave for all intents and purposes. I mean, I'm maybe watered down like slavery light, you know, is what I've got right now. I can't believe it's not slavery. Diet slavery. That's what I've got, bro. I still feel it. Like, the difference is I get to choose who my master is. And my master, instead of liars and thieves and scoundrels, is the truth and the people. And the difference between the liars and the thieves and the scoundrels is that the truth can't tell me what to do. Neither can other people. It tells me what to do. The truth in of itself. Does this feel right? Yeah. Let's do it then. Not, is this legal? Let's do it. Is this right? And do it. And I remember one time it's like, there's a split between individual culpability, organizational culpability. Okay? Like, for example, a friend of mine, Russell, I was around at his house this one time, and he says, you know what we should do, Vinny? We should start up a campaign to name and shame the individual chemtrail pilots. We get the transponder numbers of each of these planes that are coming in, and we find out via flight records or however the hell we can, private investigators, et cetera, to find out who these individual pilots are. And then put their names up on the websites and things like, why are you chemtrailing us, bro? Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? You know, that kind of thing. And I was instantly just not enamored with the with it whatsoever. I was like, nah, bro, that's just wrong. All right. I mean, I can understand why you think it might do some good, and who knows, it might. But personally, going after specific individuals who aren't actually deliberately doing it for some evil purpose, you know, who actually stand to massively gain from it, like the actual real scumbags, the ones with millions upon billions of dollars who bribe congressmen and stuff like that. Going after the, it's like, for example, going off at somebody who's working at Macca's, telling them that they're selling bioweapons to people. You know? I mean, maybe you should just set your sights a little bit higher. And that's where the aggression belongs, because you've got people who are aggressively messing with the human race, and they need to sometimes be resisted and as an aggressive approach. That's what you'd think, right? Doesn't work that way. You know, it's like the same principle here. You can't con a con man. You can't threaten somebody who threatens for a living. All right? These people are freaking dangerous. Dangerous as shit. And they will come down on you like a ton of bricks if you get in their face. They can, and they do. Seen it happen to a number of people. They take things a little bit too far, and then boom, you're in court. You know, boom, they've taken your business. Boom, they've taken your house. Boom, you're about to commit suicide because you've just worked for your entire life and because you tried to do the right thing. It all got taken away from you. And people leave those individuals of us who go to that level, who sacrifice to that extent. We let them go without a second mention. You know, people like Russell Malcolm. He was uncovering immense scumbaggery at the local council. Last time he did that, he got the entire council, including the mayor, fired. This time, no. They took everything from him. Everything. That's what's really sad. Because there was nobody there to help him to report on that. Except me. And I'm just like a drop in the ocean. I mean, sure, maybe a couple of thousand people saw the video that I made for him of his summary. But was it enough? Did it stop what happened to him? No, it didn't. And that's really sad to me. I don't like the idea of people resisting scumbaggery and then losing everything as a result. I really don't like that idea. Specifically, it's not just about them resisting and having it cost them everything. It's about them having everything taken from them and nobody speaks out for them. Nobody exposes it. Somebody has to speak for these people, is the old saying. I realized it was a little bit different. Nobody needs to speak for these people. They can speak for themselves. But somebody needs to give them an amplification device to speak into. Be that a camera, a microphone, a megaphone, a PA, a website, a leaflet drop, whatever is within your power to do. You should do it. You really should. Because too many people have lost too much over the years for us to continue to sit idly by and do nothing while they suffer needlessly. We need to support these people. We need to come in and protect them. It's my exact same approach when it comes to the free man movement. You know, name me somebody in the free man movement who hasn't lost their home, their house, their boat, their sanity, their friends, their family, their jobs, their income, their future, and hasn't, you know, been thrown in jail at some point. You know, see, you can't name a single one because they go right into the lion's den and they surprisingly find out that the lion's got fucking teeth. You know? And nobody comes in with them because they're too afraid. Nobody supports them because they're too afraid. Isn't that sad? You know, I think that's sad. I think that when ever somebody's doing a free man on the land kind of argument or something like that, there needs to be a crew of support people there in the courthouse, not only cheering them on and things like that and giving them moral support, but protesting outside, talking to all the judges and the cops and everything, you know, causing a ruckus, really putting the pressure on. Because when you're down to that point where you're trying to not get them to accept that you don't recognize their authority, you better bring your own army, ultimately, because they've got an army to back up their authority, and you won't be able to have a hell of a lot of success, or at least, you know, guaranteed success without an army of your own. And not to mention when you lose, and there's nobody, you know, going all over Facebook and YouTube and going, oh my God, he's been thrown in jail because of these scumbags and so on and so forth, and actually drawing attention to you, you're alone in there. Unless you have a belief in God, in which case, you know, atheists would think you're still alone, but you've got your imagination to keep you company. And that's something I like to do a little bit differently to most people, because when suffering is right in front of your face, you know, when it can't be ignored, when it's so overt that you literally feel it, you don't even see it anymore. You feel it before you see it. It's a compulsion to act. It's a compulsion to serve your fellow man. It's a compulsion to protect good people from predators. You know, we don't fit into the natural environment. Have a look at any other organism on Earth that acts like we do. There aren't any. The way I figure it, that means we're not a natural part of this environment. So it means we've got two choices, to become a predator or a guardian. You can kill for fun, or you can protect out of love. You know, I see all these people who are like vegans and animal rights activists and things like that getting really pissed off about the cruel treatment of animals. I don't see any of them commenting on beautiful little videos of people helping animals, you know? Just, dude saw a dog in a rushing river or something like that, and he just dove right in. Grabbed the little doggy out, came up the sides of the riverbank, dried him off, gave him some food, taken him to the puppy shelter, and adopted him out to a wonderful little family. You know? Well, and some animal rights activists don't even think people should have pets. You know? And I think they forget that companionship and love for other creatures is one of these things that we're naturally capable of and are actually quite good at. You know, if we've got a bit of practice and a little bit of empathy for other creatures, we can become almost one with them. You know? And it's maybe domestication or something of that nature, but I've seen a lot of good results when you have a look at retirement villages, for example. And some of them have been not only allowing pets per se, but they bring in dogs and cats and things like that on particular days of the week, and all the old people give them a stroke and give them a pet and go, oh, he's a cute kitty, oh, is he nice, oh, he's a good doggy, he's a good doggy, you know? And it just feels better when you've got something cute and soft and happy and lovable, you know, and snuggleable, doesn't it? It's the same thing when there's small kids around, laughing and playing and stumbling around and toddling, you know, it's cute. And it makes you feel different, makes you feel better. And that's the protective part of you, you know? You love these things and you like to enjoy them, but if something tries to mess with them, you see what I'm saying? And I get that same vibe whenever there's, you know, one of my elders is in trouble. Like, I remember there was a time when, what's his name? Jordan Maxwell, I think. He had all his work stolen from him by this dude. You can go have a look on my show about Jordan Maxwell stolen, you know. And I was just like, man, this is really sad. Dude, like 76 years old, not only had all his content and his name and all his work and everything he's basically worked on for all his years stolen from him by some scumbag, but not only that, and this is the real part about it that that stressed me, his belongings burned to the ground in a warehouse as well. Just a top, you know, just that little cherry on top. And you can think about that and you go, man, that's really terrible. How could anybody see that kind of thing and not act what people do? If it had a lot of people commenting on those videos saying how he's a con man, blah, 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 you know, good on him, serves him right, blah, 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 you know, just heartless, cruel, troll-like behavior. And that's just kind of nasty, you know, kicking people when they're down. It's not cool, bro. It really just is not in any way cool. It's quite horrific when you think about it. And there's so many times when I've done that for people when they're down to their last few bucks, when the chips are down, when everything seems to be getting completely out of control for them, I'll make sure that I'm there just to give them some of that support. Just having someone who believes in you, just having someone who cares what you're saying and the validation that that can give you is incredibly important, I think. Because we need to support each other on a rather consistent basis. It's kind of like, you know how you have, what was it my friend Jono was saying to me? Oh, you're saying how his missus, he needs to compliment her and tell her I love her every day. Otherwise, she gets kind of pissy with me, you know, because they need that constant reminding that you love them. I think that would be nice if we could go a day without being told we're loved or being or go without being hugged or something like that. But I've worked out that you can't. You know? You really do need that constant reinforcement that you matter, that you're valuable, that you're loved, that people care about you, that you're having progress in your life, that you're working towards something better. Just knowing that things aren't all grim is an invaluable thing, especially in the darkest of times. We all know this to be true. Many of us who are still here had somebody like that come into our lives at a critical point when we were basically almost dead, we're about to give up. But somebody cared. Somebody not only said a few things, somebody actually went out of their way to back us up, to help us. Now, it is that exact act that needs to be replicated pretty much at all times, because now struggling, dealing with the darkness, is a constant thing. Constant. You know that it is. You felt it for so long that you can't even remember a time when things weren't all doom and gloom. Can you? The only time when you can see a world that isn't is when you unplug from everything and you go out in nature and you just kind of sit around and you have a look at the stuff that hasn't been destroyed yet. You know, that's what Dane Wigington told me. I asked him what he does on those days. What do you do to keep yourself motivated to detoxify your thoughts from all the terror and the horror that you're exposing daily? And he takes a canoe out and he goes to this mountain, the highest point where he lives. It takes him about half a day to get up there. And he camps out on that highest point overnight. Sees the beautiful stars, sees the wonderful rolling hills and valleys and the beautiful trees, the glinting rivers and the sunlight fading behind the hills. And he realizes that all is not lost. That when we're stuck in the box and we're looking at our computer screens and that we're listening to the talk radio that frustrates us and makes us feel the most pain and the most emotion, that it's an isolated thing and that we are feeling more isolated as a result of it. And that's sometimes when amplification is a bad thing. Sometimes you merely need to amplify your own thoughts from within. You need to have a look at your own mind and why it is so important to take control of it. To not allow others to dictate your thoughts, to tell you what to do, to order you how to live your life. But because the entire system is predicated upon that exact behavior, it makes it so much more difficult to just calm down and sit back and enjoy life, have a few drinks with the boys and watch a rugby game or something like that. Makes it so much harder to do that once you know that it's not relevant anymore. That's something that Bill Hicks said. He said that religion is almost no longer relevant. And I'm not sure if I agree with him now. I mean, I don't follow or subscribe to any particular religion. I think they're all kind of have some points of value in them. So I just kind of take those points of value that I like and discard the rest and, you know, hey presto. I've got a wonderful method of living life that I stole from other people that disagree with each other on life. And disagree with each other upon what the one truth about life is. You know? And I think maybe it's just come down to the fact that over the period of my existence that I've been around, I found that there really isn't anybody who represents my views. You know, because I've got a pretty unique angle on a lot of things. I see things in different ways to a lot of people. Not to mention, I mean, I'm not necessarily the most brilliant person alive, but I'm certainly not the most idiotic. And I feel like there's a, I don't know, what would you describe it? Kind of like just a moral obligation, more or less, to myself, in a very purely selfish way, to say what I think needs to be said, to do what I think needs to be done. Otherwise, it drives me nuts. Because other people don't say it the way that I do. They don't do it the way that I do. And that's why I feel that my contribution is valuable. And the difference is that everybody can find this exact same value, right? Everybody can contribute in some valuable way, can't they? It won't be necessarily the way I do it. It won't necessarily be the way anyone else does it. But there it is, nonetheless. Because it simply hasn't got much opposition. All right? Like, this show, for all the whinging I do about trolls and everything like that, has had almost no impediments. You know? Technical glitches are extremely rare on this broadcast. Having people following me, never happened. People parked outside my road surveilling me, never happened. Weird stuff that happens on the phone call, you know, weird clicking and things. Maybe it happened once or twice. Can't really conclusively say what it was. But I tend to just get left alone by the authorities. And maybe that's because I'm not getting in their face and I don't want to be part of their establishment at all. You know? If somebody tried to offer me, you know, like a, you can host this show or be on this with us format and blah, 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 and you're going to be here at a certain time and everything, I'd freak out. You know? I literally come close to verge panicking, even when working for my friends. Like, if it's more than just a one-off, yep, here we go, do this, do that gig, etc., it's done, one day, you know, I can do that, it's easy. But if it's weekly, if it's daily, if it's stuff that I need to constantly be working on for somebody else, nah, can't do it. Just can't do it, eh, bro? Especially if they're paying me. You know, it's ironic that, isn't it? You know, I work for people, bust my ass, for absolutely free. But I can't work for people on a consistent basis and have them pay me. Otherwise, they start to feel weird about it. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that strange? I think it's kind of strange. And as a result, it's actually been quite difficult to just live my life. You know, I feel like I've got like I'm disabled in some way. Like I'm. Well, I like to call it the employer phobia, because that's about as close as a term as I can make up for it. And of course I make it up, because that's what most mental diseases are. They're just, you know, is this a disease? Yeah, I reckon so. You got any blood tests to prove that? No. Nah. All right, it's a disease. We'll give people a drug for it. No blood test, give them a drug. Go for your life, son. Right, so I reckon I can diagnose myself with employer phobia if I freaking deem it worthy. It's just the thing about, I will never work for anybody ever again. But I'm fairly certain that I'm going to continue to work with people now and into the future. You know, collaboration is more important than corporatization. Being cool and getting along with a whole lot of people, I think, is actually quite important. In a very general way. Specifically because I don't have much of a problem with most people. You know, they can believe what they want to believe. It's kind of like, it doesn't really get under my skin unless they're actually evil. Like, if I suddenly, I'm talking to somebody who's a bad person, who's throwing out nothing but spit and lies and scumbaggery. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get pretty freaking angry. But if it's just a good person who's just wrong and being a bit belligerent about it, I'm like, eh, next. You know, I don't really mind quite so much. Nobody has to agree with me on everything. Hell, I say things that are like, even in the moment, I correct myself and go, actually, I don't agree with what I just said. You know? And I think it's also like, dude, bro, I wonder if there's ever going to be a day where I could literally say anything that I think and not have people give me crap about it. Because that's what happens when you think. People don't do that a lot, do they? You know, when you drive down the road, you're like, listen to music or something, or listen to talk radio or whatever. I don't. I'm thinking. Coming up with tunes or jokes or philosophizing about stuff. And I do it because my radio's broken. It's kind of like however much time you spend unplugged from a computer screen or some kind of bit of information source, the more you're forced to think. And because people are almost at no time from waking up to going to bed, do not have ready access to some kind of screen, whether it be their phone, their computer, or a television, the ability to think just kind of shrinks. And just poofs into nothingness. Right? It's kind of like if you learn a language and then you don't speak it for 10 years. You barely remember how to speak it at all. Same thing with thinking. And that's the problem. Because we're discouraged from thinking. Oh, you're thinking too much. You're thinking too much. As if thinking is a bad thing. Right? Coming up with ideas, being creative, understanding, comprehending stuff. Yeah, terrible thing, bro. Terrible thing, bro. It's better to ignore things and just sit back and ignore them some more. Until it's just so bad that essentially you're screwed. You know? You don't really have any choice about what you do anymore. It's problematic. It's a pretty bad approach. And I'm pretty sure it's exactly that approach that's got us into the point that we are now. Isn't it? Nah, I don't want to do something right by humanity. I'll just have another beer. I'll just go watch another sports game. I'll just watch another episode of Game of Thrones. I'll just watch another movie that is like less than B rating. You know? I've been sitting down and wondering, like, when you look over some of the lists of these really bad movies that are out there, like, how do these things even get funding? At the time, don't see how bad they are. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, we're having some strange technical difficulties today. It's been a little bit of a frustrating one. There's only a minute or two left in the broadcast, so I'll just kind of get this thought out, which seems to be recurring, isn't it? Whenever I don't have a guest, I kind of like sit around and give them this kind of motivational speech. It's either that or just talk about articles and ridicule the day's news. Maybe that's an idea, isn't it? I wonder as well why the media is so controlled, and more specifically why the sports are so tied in with the politicians. Like, we've had this thing recently in New Zealand where the in fact, you probably hear this in a whole lot of things. You know that the politicians try to get in together with all those real famous sportsmen and stuff like that? You know? It's like, yeah, you're really popular. Why don't we just appear beside you and appear to be popular too? It's like, bro, you suck. All right? You suck. What you're doing is freaking boring. It doesn't matter for humanity. All you're doing is distracting people from everything. And then what you're doing is not only do you suck, but you're sucking the knob of corporate criminal scumbaggery by pushing yourself into the limelight in the news and stuff like that, as if your opinion matters. You can chuck a ball round. That doesn't make you a political commentator, bro. Okay? Oh my God and mercy. I mean, when has anybody ever had an intellectual, like, aha moment? Like, wow, oh my God. And it just totally changed your life for the better because it was so profound and so meaningful that you actually started living your life and looking in the world a very, very different way as a result. How many times has that happened while you're watching a sports match? And that's the only variable here, the sports match. You weren't having a conversation with somebody while there was a sports match going on. You're watching a couple of guys throw round balls in short shorts and tight shirts and groping each other's nutsack while you're not looking. Where's the profound intellectual realization going? Oh my God, I've been a complete douchebag and I've wasted my entire life following sports for the vast majority of it. Did that occur to you while you were watching? No, I didn't think so. Stop watching the sport. Stop watching TV. Stop watching the news. Start listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Start doing stuff in your own life. And for goodness sake, please, please support the network. We're having, we need some money, all right? Some real money. I'm not kidding you, yo. You got to go to the AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on that big donate banner. It's right there, bro. Give him $100. Give him $200 if you can. Sweet mercy. Got to keep this network on the air. And it's an absolute desperate point right now during this week. So if any help would be appreciated greatly. Thank you very much for your time, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and click on the 2015 archives to go around and see all the shows that we've been doing. There's quite a lot of them for you to enjoy. Don't miss out.